Halleluja. Let's just say this together. You don't know what you have.
You don't know what you have.
Until God reveals it to you.
Reveals it to you.
And gives it to you.
And gives it to you.
What you've always had.
What you've always had.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in Isaiah 64, verse 4, it says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the heart of this physical man what God has prepared for you. So, every one of us here, God has finished the work of it. Everything that God had in mind before you became flesh and blood in our mother's womb, He says He knew you and is already prepared for you. It's a finished work. The book of your life has been written, Psalms 139:6. Meaning, God foreknew you and God has destined you. But our physical eyes and ears, because of the fallen nature of man, cannot see it. So, this human nature has put a limitation on our ability to walk a victorious life. And that's a fight, that's a battle we fight. We're not fighting any battle, but the fight of faith. So, I want to say this because of the confession we just made. God created everything, and brought Adam, made Adam, created Adam, and Adam was there. Amen?
Amen.
Adam had a need that was deep inside of him, deep that he was not aware of. And then God saw the need, and God says, Adam, you need something. God did not have to go very far to meet that need because it was a finished work. God reached out to Adam's will and brought out the woman and met that need. So, what you need is already in your life. You just have to hear from God by reading it. And then the next thing I want to say is, if you don't know what you have, you will never treasure it. And what you don't treasure, you never secure. And what you don't secure, the thief will come after it. And if you are not careful, the thief will steal it. As I was waiting on the Lord, I was feeling different things. I have this question for all of us here. If you, as a believer, you're living in Ukraine today, what would be your response? If you're a Christian, you're born again, you're a believer, what will be your response right now? Your comfort is gone. Your home is gone. Family scattered. Overnight, you're in a strange land. You don't know the people that you're living in. You're being fed from day to day. You depend absolutely on the Master's people's mercy and grace. You don't know where your dad or your mom is. Some of them, you don't even know where your husband is. And they're like, well, up with your standard. What will be your security? What will be your peace? Will you curse God? Will you become hateful, angry, bitter, vengeful, completely lost? What will be your position? As I was meditating on that, I realized that you might believe it, you might not, we are living in the last days. And we are progressing gradually deeper into the affairs of the last days. And one of the hallmark of the word Jesus gave to his disciples about the last days, he says, there will be tribulations. Amen?
Amen.
Tribulations means distress, famine, war, rumors of war. There will be all kinds of instability. But he said this to them. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome. I have overcome. So then he said, in the world you have tribulations. There will be tribulations. In the world you have crisis. You have all kinds of things. Then he said, in me, if you are in me, if you are in my kingdom, if you are in me, you have peace. That word peace means prosperity. Everything to be with your stability. I want to read this scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, Hebrews chapter 12, it says, I'll read from verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not, who refused him that spoke on us? Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, which cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a good thing. The purpose of the gospel, especially in this time and where the world is going, is for us to walk in victory. It's for us to walk in the confidence that God has our life. No matter what we go through, it's for us to know that we're standing on a solid ground. But there are reasons why when trauma comes or situations happen, we lose it. I was praying, and if what is happening in Ukraine is going to happen here or happens in our daily life, what will come out of me? How will I relate to God? How will I relate to others? What would be of my confession as a believer? Have that in mind as we look at some amazing things the Lord wants to say to us this morning. If you don't mind, I would like us to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. I'll read from verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. Prophets are the people that carry the word of the Lord. And you stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Listen to what Jesus is saying. This is God speaking. Say, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of God. We know the story of Samson. How many of you, if you've not read it, I just want to touch it before we go deeper into the dealings of the Lord about this time. Samson was born with an assignment. He was born with a purpose, like every one of us. And the path for success was given to Samson. He was told, Samson, if you will do this, don't bring things, don't drink wine, like, don't cut your hair, don't do this, very few things. God told him, if you will do this, you will maintain what you have, and you'll be a solution to your enemies. So, Samson, these were already for examples. He's a Jew, he's in covenant with God, he's anointed, he's empowered, he's free from what everybody's going through. And so he took it for granted. He took it for granted that, okay, I'll just leave anyway. I'll not focus on my consecration, I'll not read my Bible, I'll not in the church, I will not do this, I will not do that. You know, just he decided, instead of following the God that anointed him, consecrated him, blessed him to be who he is, he decided to be who he was. And in our mind, just like every one of us, we just think it's okay. So he's living that way, and he thinks it's okay. He's created his own way to live when God already called him and gave him directions. But it took just a while before he realized that he was being blinded, that he was compromising, and his spiritual senses was getting dull. His hunger for God was getting dull. His attitude towards the things of God was beginning to die down. There are seven churches, if you think I'm just talking about Samson, Jesus looked at them and that happened to them. He said two that maintain their focus and their passion. So Samson took the ways and the things and the instructions of God for life. Nothing happened overnight, but gradually he saw that the things God said not to do, he was gradually doing them, and there was no more conviction in his heart. He was gradually living a certain way without no more conviction or fear of God. But the reason is, he's still having victory. He still has a good job. He still has children. He still has everything going well. But somehow, he was losing it. But the anointing was still there. Things were still happening. His spirit things were still carrying him. Then, the enemy says, we are making progress. He took another step and said, okay, let us find out now what is his strength, the secret of his strength. So they sent a devil, but he has a woman's body. See, the devil comes to people, and the woman started walking on him. Tell me the secret. Tell me the secret. Today you say, how does that relate to me? As believers, we are living in a very subtle world. A very subtle world. And everybody that is not a believer around us is a temptation. If we envy, if we are comparing ourselves to the world, it's because we don't know what we are. There is no human being out there that has the privilege we have. It doesn't matter whether they are president. You have the kingdom. So Samson took what he has so much for granted and gradually losing the value of what was placed upon him, because he was still a Christian. And then gradually the enemies kept going closer, closer, and his senses were getting dull and dull. You say, how can anybody, Samson, somebody, you told the person, if you do this, if you do this, and you do that, I'm going to lose my strength. The person did exactly what you said, and the person still came to you, and the person is still there. I said, why would somebody directly, you say, if you shoot my head, if you shoot my leg, I will die. The person shot your leg, you didn't die. And the person said, okay, what else will I do to kill you? I said, if you shoot my head, I will die. The person shot your head. Why would, what happened? Where, what are you? That's exactly what's happening in the church. How do we get to the point that we are just church members? Or how do we get to the point that we are no more passionate for God? Or hungry for God? Or thirsty for God? The activities of life has so bogged us down that our understanding of Christianity is just on the surface. And so when trials come, tribulations and crises come, our foundation is completely shaken. So Samson did not know it's a process. And gradually he lost that consecration, lost his sensitivity. Everything he lost spiritually, later he lost physically. And finally, he lost the anointing. And Samson was brought into a similar situation that is happening in Ukraine right now. Samson was uprooted completely. He was blinded. It was a serious crisis, beating daily, mocked daily, chained and compounds. How can somebody go from such glorious, powerful, victorious, amazing, fearful position to naked, wretched, nobody, and captive. That's where we are as Christians. The victory of the cross and the fact that God gave us His Spirit is confirmed to the host of God and not to desire to know who we are and what we are. What is so important about this world? What is so great that when we have found the kingdom, when we have come into the kingdom, that we don't really take time to pursue who we are and what are the requirements of this kingdom? So, what I read to you here in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, my brother, pay attention to this. It's not a fearful thing. All through history, God brought a man in the garden, He floated in His glory and His presence, sink in, and God glory left. From that time, man has become extrovert. We only pay attention to what we see with our eyes, what we want with our eyes, what we desire with our flesh. That has become a kingdom of man. We lost perception, a kingdom of God. So, all through that, God was looking for a time to restore that kingdom, a lost kingdom. The only way He could restore it is for us to be born again. Because our flesh man cannot see the kingdom, cannot perceive it, cannot walk in it. It's fallen nature. And for us to be born again, it can't happen except God Himself comes. So He came in the flesh and fulfilled and then died on that cross and defeated the limitations of the flesh and sin and everything. And then He rose from the dead, and now we are now to be bear the same fruit of the born again and to be born into a lost kingdom. The kingdom that we lost, there is no small, there is no big. Everybody is called to be the prince of God. Actually, He says we are priests and we are kings by that blood. So, after Jesus said that, now we can look at Kareem. Well, here's what happened. God raised up a nation here and said, I am going to make you a kingdom of priests and kings. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to fight your battles. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to make you shine. I'm going to be your God. I mean, made all this covenant, and Israel said, yes, Lord, you are. And they became a peculiar people, a nation, the only nation that has God as their covenant. Just like Adam, just like Samson, how do we lose this thing? Israel started playing with the world. Started playing with the things of the world. Started playing with the emptiness of the world. Because every emptiness of the world, there are other gods, demons that come to impersonalize themselves as God. Every other religion, we call religion today, they are counterfeits. They are impersonations of the true God because of darkness. So when the light comes, now Israel now receives the light, and God says, I am the true God, I am the only God, I am your God, and I will make you a light, an example to the nations. So, just like Adam, as God started, he lost it. And now God started with Israel, and they started playing, they thought it was This was okay because nothing has happened. They kept playing this harlotry with the world and with the world and kept doing, kept all of a sudden they start losing their fear of God. They started losing their purpose as God's people. They started living more just the way the world wants. They wanted things like the world. They wanted to be like the world. They started envying the world and they lost the value of the only nation that had God. Suddenly, God started sending prophets to them, sending messengers to them, pleading with them, don't do this to me. Don't turn away from me. You know what will happen. You know the consequences. I warned you. God kept begging. God said it. God begging. Jesus says, they stole the prophets. They killed the prophets. They sent messengers. They do that. They kept rejecting. So finally, listen. God came himself. One by one, came to no other nation. Do you know what it means for God to manifest in the flesh? And came to his people, and after 30 years, he now said to them, I'm here. You are a special people. Every nation wants to have what you have. I've come to you. You are my people. And he did miracles, and he did wonders, and he preached about the lost kingdom. Now he's here. The kingdom of God. And he proved it with signs and wonders. And did a lot of miracles and did great things. And revealed himself. Undeniable. My brothers and sisters, before Jesus made this statement, the Bible says in the book of John 1, said he came to his own and his own knew him not. And his own rejected him. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what it means. But what I know is there are signs that manifest evidence of rejection. Whatever they did, whatever happened, that God will say, you rejected me. So I'm going to turn my back. And I'm going to open my hands to those who have no God. I'm going to show mercy to those who have no mercy. I'm going to turn my back. I'm going to cut you off since you don't want me. And I'm going to open my heart to sinners, to the rest of the world that does not know me and does not like me. And open his hand to us. Who we are Gentiles. Who knew no God. So, whatever Israel did, for God to turn his back, and before he turned his back, he won. It was a long process. Whatever Samson did to be in the situation, whatever Adam and Eve did to move the ground, my brothers, the devil has been watching. So, Jesus told Israel, he says, you will not see me again until you go to tribulation, until crisis, until the kind of shaking that will shake everything, until you now realize, you need, I will not let you see me again. And the Bible says, from that moment after Jesus died, he opened his heart to the Gentiles. That's the church and the rest of Jews that were accepted from Pentecost. As soon as we came to him, he says, the Jewish nation became divided. Up till now, the most hardened people against Jesus. What we used to be as Gentiles, did we get? But Paul warned us in Romans. He says, we who were not the original people, we should fear and be careful with what we have. For if we take it for granted and begin to do what the Jewish people did and take God for granted and do all, he says, we are not even the original branches. You should take the heed, lead we too will be cut off. And Jesus says, I will not come unto your houses desolate. What Israel will go through in the last days, called the Great Tribulation, you can read it in the Bible, have never happened before. That's when Israel will come back to God. Now, the Bible uses stories to help us kind of understand the deep things that we can relate to spiritually. So let's look at another physical example before we pray to help us understand what it means to lose the presence of God without knowing it. And why the only way to get back the evidence of it. We'll look at it. It's a very popular story. We all know called the story of the prodigal son. Amen?
Amen.
The story of the lost son. Listen, the story is the same. Everything I told you about Adam, everything I told you about Peter, about the Jews, everything I told you about Samson, is the same pattern. Our human mind. The prodigal son is at home here. Started here. He has a father. Rich. Has everything. He didn't need to work. He didn't need anything. Everything was there. But the son did not know what he had. And because he didn't know what he had, he did not value what he had. And because he didn't value what he had, a different voice, a different desire started speaking to him. He started envying the world. He started getting jealous of what he does not have. So he now came to his father and said, you know what? I'm leaving. Give me this. The whole focus of this man, this young son in the house, has nothing to do with knowing the father's heart, knowing who the father is, and knowing why he has a father. His whole focus was, I need something for my lust. I need something for my form. I need this. If I ask you a question today, what are you looking for? And if what you're working for is not what you're living for, what are you working for? What are you investing all these hours for? What are you trying to achieve? Is all these hours and all these jobs you're doing all about your stomach? Then you're wasting your time. It must be something behind your stomach. It must be something more than material things. If you put your life to something, it must be more than that. So the prodigal son said, okay, give me. And the father gave him. You all know the story. He came to this part and says, you know, I've always wanted to do this. I want to do that. Okay, I want to do this. I want to go to school. Okay, I got my degrees. I want to get married. I got married. I want to have children. I want to have 2-car garage. I want to have a house. He has all of them. I want to have this. Everything that he wanted, he was able to buy. And he realized. He was still empty. So all of a sudden, this thing Jesus told the Jews, you will not see me again until you are desolate. I love you so much that I will let you have your way, But the only way you come back to me is you're going to need it. And we don't normally need God. We don't normally need God except we sincerely know Him. And because we know Him, we are passionate. Or we don't know Him, and when crisis comes, we remember His name. So, this same thing applied. He came into desolation. Everybody say desolation.
Desolation.
The kind of crisis that no man can help you. It's the kind of situation no man can help you. It comes to us in different ways. It doesn't have to be the way it came to him. It doesn't have to be the way it comes to this. I have a friend in Chattanooga. When he was alive, he was the vice president of Coca-Cola. He was as proud as heaven is on the earth. He was the top of the world. At a young age, he was everything. He was a decision maker with who is who. So, why do I need God? Until I had cancer. And the cancer became permanent. Doctors couldn't help. No one could help. Money, CSS. They flew into every hospital you can imagine. It comes to us in different ways. But what was God looking for? God didn't allow that to happen. The devil wanted to kill him before he found God. But God showed mercy. In his deathbed, he saw a door. And he saw so many other doors that have been opened. But one door was closed. He has tried everything in life. Like so. He has tried everything in life. What money, what life, what this, everything. Give me this, give me this, give me this, give me that. Do this for me. And that's what I was living for. Working for. No eternal. And something spoke to him on that bed when he saw that vision. He says, walk through that door. He says, I don't want to, you know. And that door, his father says, that's the only door that will kill you. That's the only door that will save you. That's the only door that has your best interest, your salvation. He was going to die anyway. So he cried out, I want that door. And he got saved. And from the minute he took that door, supernaturally, God healed him. They could not see it instantly, but something happened to him. He got up from that bed and he told them, he says, I'm going home. The doctor said, you lost your mind. The wife said, you what? He says, I'm going home. They can't help me here, but something has happened to me. They said, if you can make it home anyway, good, but you're going to bring hospice. He went home. And from there, rapidly, was given him restoration. He wrote, because of his influence in the business world, he wrote a book that was translated in different languages all over the world, a testimony. My brothers and sisters, the Bible says, the things are written, they are written for example, for admonition. What use will it, what does it profit us or profit me? If all these examples were written in the Bible, how people lost their faith, lost the treasure, lost the kingdom, lost, and all these things are stated how the enemy gradually stole, and we see the end of it. And we have family members and we have stories, and we know that the enemy will do this. Why and how long will it take us to wake up? The prodigal son did not come to his senses until what? He was desolate. Everything he was holding on to, everything he thought that was something, was shaken, and there was no foundation of his life. Hebrews 12, I read to you, says, the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. It cannot be moved. Jesus says, because I have conquered the world. In me, it doesn't matter what happens in these days that are coming. You will stand. You will have resources. You will rule. You will reign. It happened to Joseph. It happened in the days of Noah. It happens to people who hear his voice and prepare for it. At the end of the shaking, the predicator says, you know what? After all, this is what I'm leaving. My father's house. My father's house. Says, I want it so bad now. I want it with all desperation. I want it so bad that I want it with all my heart to the point that I don't care to be a slave. I don't care to be a servant. But now I know what I want. I know the value of it. I know who my father is. I really know that this is what I've been missing. And I don't care to lose. I don't care if I look like a servant. All I want is what I've lost. That I never knew was what I needed. Adam did not know what he had. Samson didn't know what he had. The children of Israel, they lost it. And Jesus looked at 7 churches in the book of Revelation and he said to 5 of them, they lost it. If you do not turn around, the light will be taken away. You will be in church, you will be living, but you will be lost. You've lost the salt. You've lost the light. You've lost the essence of fellowship. So what are some of the evidence that, like Samson, something is happening to us, but we don't know it? You know, something is getting death, is losing it. It's gradually. What are the signs? One of the big evidence in the Bible, Jesus told the church was, lukewarmness. Lukewarmness. What is lukewarm? Anybody can define what lukewarm is. Lukewarm is look and add warm to it. Amen. You are cold or you are hot. He said, but to stand in the middle does not work. You are neither here, you are neither there, because you are spirit. You either, you are still the prodigal son and all you want is this world, all you're working for is this world. But if you want the kingdom, you got to understand the kingdom needs you. You have a seat, you have a place, you have a calling, you have an assignment. The kingdom doesn't have you here for you to still be working for the world. Not, I don't talk about physical job. You have a purpose. So lukewarmness is you trying to stand in the middle of the two worlds and say, I can enjoy this. I can enjoy that, I can enjoy this, and then all of a sudden you're losing the heart, you're losing the cold, you're losing the heart, you're losing the cold. And they said the only way to kill a very vibrant frog is through lukewarm water, and you turn it up until it dies. That's what happened to Samson. I don't care about the consecration, I'll do it my way, and gradually I said to God, how do I sustain? What is the key for this? The one answer the Lord gave to me Let me read it to you. It's several, but just let me read this. It's found in Psalms 42. Psalms 42. Psalms 42 from the life of David. You all know David went through stuff, you know, through all kinds of things that happened to him. Psalms 42. It says, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so longeth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for thee, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually sought me, where is thy God? My brothers and sisters, the Lord told me in a very simple way. How many of you in this room, how many of you in this room eat food? Everybody should raise their hand. Sir, you eat, don't you? How many of you eat three times a day? You eat three times a day. So most of you here eat three times a day? Okay, some of you eat three times a day.
What?
Both of you eat three times a day, twice a day. Mary, you eat three times a day, breakfast, good. Let me spell it out. I think there's breakfast, there's lunch, and there's dinner. There's nothing wrong. I'm not asking you a trick question. Yes, it's normal. How many of you know that if you're not fasting and you're not able to eat for a day, something is wrong? How many of you know that? We call it loss of appetite. That's for the physical body. David said that on a daily basis, his hunger for God is his meat.
Jesus.
That the longing, the passion of his soul and his heart is equivalent to what we feel in the physical about food and water. See, as we fast for water, how many of you can stay there without drinking water? The way our body thirsts for water and the way our body needs food, he says, so my soul longs because I am not just flesh, I am a child of God. So, if you don't eat physically or drink water for a day, if you're not fasting, we call it loss of appetite. That's what your own looks like. In the days of God, you have lost appetite for God. And every other thing is what has taken happiness. You feel the appetite for the souls, for the presence of God with every other thing. Loss of appetite is the foundation of lukewarmness. Because if you don't have appetite, you can't eat, isn't it? They can put buffet here, put this here, put that here. You come to church, you dance, but never eat the meat and never drink the drink. And your soul is still tired of destruction. And if something happened that happened in Ukraine, where is God? Where is God? God has never left. So the Lord said, David kept a lifestyle of hunger in my presence. And David literally, because he hungered so much to me, he lived in my presence. That's Psalms 91. And we're in the New Testament. So my brothers and sisters, the reason the Lord put this on my heart, it's a very long series. He's been dealing with me, he's been there, I share that online and everywhere I go. God is saying, I am your God.
Yes.
I am your provider.
Yes. Yes.
I am your defense.
Yes.
I am your support.
Yes.
I am your friend.
Yes.
I stick closer than a brother.
Yes.
I am everything to you.
Yes.
Why do you reject me?
Jesus.
Why am I the last person?
Jesus.
The only time we realize who he is when we are desperate. So, that morning, the question I ask is, do you want to be like the prodigal son who really now goes after the father's heart? Only after he's in trouble? Or do you want to be like David who in the world of his life, he says, you see all these things? Nothing is more important than your presence. You see, God started blessing us, gave us his spirit, and gave us everything. As soon as he gave us his property, and he started blessing us physically, my focus is not on this building. This thing provoked me. I said, God, I want more. I desire more of God than I've ever. Because now I know he's more faithful than I do. I can't be distracted. So my brothers and sisters, we are living in very perilous times. You don't know what tomorrow was. I was going to share a dream with you last Sunday. I was going to share this morning, but it's not coming. I shared it Sunday night, last Sunday night. The Lord gave me that dream, similar dream, 2020, February, and the virus broke out in March. And this dream was very similar because it's the same serpent. My brothers and sisters, as we take communion this morning, as we pray, can you respond to the Holy Spirit? What kind of friend do you want to be? Do we have to force you to come to God? Do we have to force you to seek God? Do somebody have to force you to spend time with God in your closet at home? Do somebody have to see what you are to God is what you leave for your children to see. A lot of people don't do a lot of things because maybe they didn't have the example. And if you don't, where you are is probably sometimes where your children are, is that what they're doing to. So if you don't become passionate for God, a lover of God that shows it and walk and walk in this place, just love God just for your children and for this generation. Don't wait for crisis to love God. Amen?
Amen.
Love God just because he loves you. Don't love God because he gave you $20 when you didn't have it. Anybody can do that. Don't love God because he healed your body. Because you can love it, but let that not be the focus. Because anybody can be grateful to somebody like that. But love God because he loves you. And show it. So we're going to take communion. And this communion is for you to answer. You and God, where is my passion? Where is my commitment to you, God? Where am I? Am I lukewarm? Am I on fire? Or am I cold? Where am I? All it takes is a decision. All it takes is a decision. You know, when my wife tells me, I'm sorry. When I tell my wife I'm sorry about five times, and I did not fix what she wants me to fix. I'm sorry about the reason. So, when I say I'm sorry, and I fix what she wants me to fix, and I'm ready. That's why it takes a decision. It's the action to show to God. You're serious. If you're like Samson here this morning, or like Adam and Eve, or like the children of Israel, God has sent to you, send me to you this morning. And the song said, "You will pass me by." Is that going to lead us to pray into this? But before then, we will come on the Lord and pray. And make some decisions. My brothers, we have a building. A building. And God says, God will help you live in this house. If you live in your parents' home and your parents have 12 children and they have a yard to mow, they have this to do, they have that to do, they have that to do, and all they are doing, they are working and you're getting food at the house, and those 12 children are so grown up, they are not doing anything. Are they part of the family? When the children begin to say, okay, this one goes there, this one does this one, they feel like they own their house, they are part of their house, they are family. People are going to be coming, God is going to be moving. What is your calling? Where is your heart? God has given you a gift. How do you live it?
You release your fire in each one of us. As on the day of Pentecost, let your fire fall upon each one of us. Let the zeal of the Lord God Almighty consume us. Let your zeal consume us. A driving force that cannot be stopped. A fire that cannot be quenched. Lord, on everyone in this sanctuary and all those watching online, on everyone that belongs to Zion, release your fire, release your passion, release the zeal of the Lord God Almighty, that nothing will matter to us but you. And all those distractions, oh God, we bring them to this place, oh God, let this blood speak over them. Let the blood of Jesus nail to the cross everything that holds us back. Lord, whether they are physical or spiritual, whatever the reason, oh God, is it our jobs? Is it our children, our husbands, our wives, our families? Lord, what is it that holds us back? Father, awaken us. Awaken us to the season. That time is near. So So as we partake of this communion today, Father, as we partake of your body and your blood, pour into us that fire and that zeal and awaken us today. May we be what you've called us to be, as Mount Zion and as individuals. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Except a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter. Father, open our eyes. Open our ears and our heart to receive. Open our hearts to surrender. Submitted your word.